And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. There's radio and then there's, well, there's us, the Phil Henry Show. We have General Galen Shaw joining us this hour. He will talk with us about the healthcare rollout, about the healthcare exchanges, the insurance exchanges that have encountered all manner of problem. President Obama's discussion of that. Just a reminder that we're back with our Game of the Week next Sunday. We apologize for the technical difficulties that we had, but the Game of the Week next Sunday. Following tonight's show on Phil TV and HD will be a showing of Night of the Living Dead.
That's a bitching movie. It's kind of old. Yeah, not like a zombie movie now.
Well, what? It's zombie enough. I'm tired of the zombie.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. I mean, we're not going to talk about it. What are you, tired of the zombies? You're tired of the zombies. People are down, they're down with zombies. There's no getting around it. Zombie is where it is, man, you know.
What a thing to be talking about during the healthcare. This is what bothers me, and I know that General Shaw will be addressing it.
General Shaw will be addressing what?
I'll let General Shaw address it.
Well, he will discuss the zombie.
About healthcare? You got to be putting me on.
No, just the idea that because of the zombies, there are people getting healthcare, you know.
Because of zombies?
No. But like, if you're afraid that...
If for whatever reason there's something to this, you need healthcare.
You know something, Margaret.
I'm not saying there is... I'm saying it has people out there worried.
Well, then let them be worried. I'm going to tell you something right now. If that just don't beat all. We got a country of people that are debating the merits of health care and also worried about whether or not they're going to need maybe an upgrade in their coverage because of a zombie biting them. This is beyond dumb. And plus, this is the very thing that was happening when that horrifying event in Miami took place of that man having his face eaten off. People were calling the CDC asking if there was such a thing as zombies. What? Let me ask you a question, seriously.
Oh, Phil, don't get judgmental.
No. I'm serious. I mean this. What faraway region of the planet do you have to be raised in? What holler? What jungle? What cave were you raised in to call the CDC and ask if there is a zombie or cannibal-like epidemic happening in America? When did you lose touch with the civilized world?
It's a very normal thing.
People were worried about it because of all the television.
No. I'm sorry, that doesn't play. It just doesn't play. If you honestly called the CDC to ask if there were zombies or something having to do with cannibals, you were raised in a hermetically sealed environment where, I'm telling you, you worshipped the blender. You bowed down and worshipped can openers. That was the mentality, okay?
Worship can openers?
I mean, you lived in a Stone Age, spiritualist, animist society where you didn't even believe in a monotheistic god. You probably believed in a pantheon of gods. You grew up with a G-string. You grew up with spears. You grew up with, you know what I'm saying, loincloths. You're from the jungle.
Yeah, so it's racism. It's not racism to talk about the jungle.
What do you mean racism? I'm just saying you got to be some kind of a... I don't even know where to begin. I you're a feral child. You're a wild child, man. You're from a cave, and yet there are people, but they know how to dial a phone. That's what I don't understand. How do you know how to dial a telephone, but you believe in zombies? Where is that from? All right, we got to turn off the band, okay?
I like it.
Well, that's so do I, but we got to get to you. General Galen Shaw joining us from Washington, D.C. General Shaw, we heard the president talk about the healthcare exchange problems. We heard him say there was no excuse. We heard him say that... That it had to be fixed, that there would be a tech surge to fix it, and I suppose those of you who are those of you who don't like this law were overjoyed at this.
Well, no, there's no joy among us on the anti-Obamacare side when we see Americans struggling to utilize a system that we knew was unwieldy, that we knew would not work, and that we knew would eventually lead to a catastrophic breakdowns in social services. You've mentioned zombies more than once. I don't believe in zombies any more than I believe in the tooth fairy or any of these mythical creatures. And yet, when you have that kind of panic, the system and all things that are relative to civilization fall apart.
What are you talking about? You're talking about the healthcare exchange?
I'm talking about the fact that the Obama healthcare exchange doesn't work, and you people are talking, and I don't mean you people, Robert, as in black people. I hope you understand.
No, that's all right.
All right. I mean you people, you four there, are talking about the zombie apocalypse. All right, fine. Do what you will. Believe in what you want to. But I am not going along for the ride. I can tell you that I will let that train go through the station. I'm inside getting jujubes or chocolate-covered raisins. No, thank you. My feeling, and the feeling of a great many people, is that Obamacare is a disaster on its own. You don't need to fear this asinine zombie discussion that you're having.
Hold on for a minute. Obamacare is a disaster based on what? The fact that people are not able to get online to purchase it.
Well, I think that is a pretty good start to understanding what a disaster it is. But we also have, Phil, the various news stories that I saw, people who have their own insurance already and have seen those rates skyrocket as a result of Obamacare.
Now, you are talking...
Hold on, let me finish. There was one lady who had Anthem Insurance, and she said she saw her monthly premium go from $250 a month up to over $400 a month, and there are other stories like that.
All right, now hold on for just a second, General, because we have to be fair. That is a story, I saw that same story, that is a story that I have no doubt in my mind is being replicated across the country. And I also want to say the following thing. That just like everything else in this world, when something new is rolling out, there is all manner of news that is both inaccurate, influenced by a little bit of panic, is influenced no doubt by a certain number of ideologically motivated people that want it to be bad news. So I'm not taking any of this news right now as gospel. You have insurance, don't you?
I have. Yes, I do.
What kind?
You know, I don't think that's really any of your business, and I don't mean that in an unkind way, Phil.
You said you had Medicare.
That's right. You said you had Medicare.
Oh, that's you said you had Medicare. Honey, I'm on the radio with these people, you know. I'm talking to my wife, and they think they've got me over a barrel. My wife's here. She's having some of the Pepperidge Farm that we bought. They think they have me over a barrel. Honey, are you listening to me? I'm on the air.
Okay, but General, you have to talk to us.
No, I know that. Hold on. My wife is here, and I want to... They think that... What are you having, darling? Can you lift your head up from the Pepperidge? My wife, we just got the Pepperidge Farm, Phil. Do you ever have that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, forget it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be convivial. So, honey, my wife is having dessert, but I wanted to tell her what... excuse me, Phil, what a monkey. And I don't mean monkey in a racial way, but you're making a monkey out of yourself.
Well, General Shaw, this is Margaret Gray. You know I admire you.
And I you.
Well, yes, but I disagree with you 100% on this. Whether or not your wife, Cecilia, who I think is a wonderful woman, is eating Pepperidge Farm or not, the fact is that this is too early to pass judgment on the health care exchanges. And you do have Medicare insurance. You said so earlier in the show.
All right, so you're going to use that... As ammunition, how?
Well, no, I'm not using it as ammunition. And what I wanted to say is the following thing: you have a government, you have a government-controlled, a government-mandated form of insurance for people who are seniors. What the difference is between that and Obamacare, I can only guess at, because frankly, I don't. There isn't any. It's Obamacare seems to be much easier to get.
Well, no, it isn't. No, it is not. Obamacare, just the evidence that we have right now is more difficult.
But you say that you're opposed to Obamacare for its cost to the taxpayer. The fact is there is no way that Medicare could exist without passing that cost along, whether it was paid for with a tax, as Obamacare is supposed to be paid for, at least in part, whether it was paid for by increasing the premiums of people. The fact is premiums were going up anyway and are going up anyway. I don't know why it is people don't see that.
You know, you can sit and give a speech all you want, Phil, but the fact of the matter remains...
I'm not giving a speech. I'm just telling you what's happening.
The fact of the matter remains that 20 million people have tried to get online to get Obamacare and have come away empty-handed and with egg dripping off of their faces. Now, I will tell you this. Before you declare it to be a victory because there are 20 million people trying to get Obamacare, I don't think that that's necessary. Those are 20 million people that might not go to the hospital at all. Those are 20 million people that may just find a way to pay for their health care.
Are you willing to bet on that?
Hold on for a minute. Either find a way to pay for their health care, or yes, and it's a tragedy that I wish that it wouldn't happen, but go without health care entirely, never even go to the hospital. So you can't say that the uninsured cost money.
General Shaw, that is ridiculous. Yeah, people that are sick are going to go to the doctor.
You're pretty sure of that?
Yeah, I am.
I'm asking Margaret.
Yes.
Well, I don't see how you could make that statement.
Wait. You're telling me that somebody that is sick is not... Well, you know, we got to take a break. Hold on for a minute.
You have to take a break now, right when I'm... You know, so that's not...
We'll be right back with you, General Shaw, if you don't mind. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Look, you know, say what you want. If someone's sick, they're going to go to the doctor. If you're sitting here and telling me, wow, you know what, now these people are going to have medical care before they might not have even gone to the doctor. They might not have cost us a cent. What about that? That's pretty cool, too. I'm sorry, man. I ain't buying it. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. Back with General Galen Shaw, talking about the rough rollout here of the healthcare exchanges in a moment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here as we talk here to General Galen Shaw about the rollout of the whole healthcare thing and how it has affected America. There's people that are not getting online and not getting this thing wrapped up. There's a lot of glitches, but personally, General, as you know, I don't think that means failure. I mean, there's a lot of glitches. It's a brand new system. You're in the military, or were. Isn't that what is the standard thing when you roll out something new?
Hold on for a minute, Bill. I told them I don't want any of these kids anywhere near me. Yes, Phil, that is, I've got some children that are playing near me, and I told the mall security that I'm going to be on the air with you, and yet I still have some of them sitting here. My wife and I are over at the Cheesecake Factory and enjoying the Pepperidge Farm. Now, if I cannot get some quiet... Can you see to it that these children are...
Yes, I will, sir.
And what is your name?
My name is David.
David, if you would keep these children away from me, I don't want them anywhere near me, all right?
I understand.
Who is that, security?
Yes, that's the mall security here. And my wife, Cecilia, who just is a wonderful woman. Are you enjoying the Pepperidge Farm, dear? She had a stroke last year. Are you enjoying it, dear? She loves it, the Pepperidge Farm. So, Phil, as I was saying...
And your wife is covered with health insurance?
No, Phil, she's not. I'm going to dump her on the street in front of a hospital and then speed away. Yes, she's covered. What a question to ask of a woman that I love and have loved all of these years. And
all right, I understand. I'm just asking, General, that's all, you know.
You know something? Because I don't believe in Obamacare doesn't mean that I am not going to insure my wife and watch a woman that I love more than life itself have a stroke and then say, okay, I guess I can take her to the hospital. I'll push her out of the car with my right leg while the left one is still on the brake, and she'll roll into the street, and I'm sure they'll find her sooner or later, and then speed away. Is that what you expect me to do?
No, that is not. You know full well that's not what I expect.
Well, I don't know why you would ask a question of me. Honey, you know what Mr. Henry said?
Okay, look, General, this is a sidetrack that we don't need.
Let him do it.
Yeah, there you go. Take Margaret's advice. Let me do it. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Margaret, and I know that you're not on my side.
No, I think the audience needs to hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, just for that, I'm not going to talk to her then. All right. My opinion, Phil.
All right. Given us your opinion, would you care to comment on some of the things that I said?
Like what?
Like, for instance, the fact that you know that equipment, you know that technology...
Oh, yes, I did want to comment. No, I very much did want to comment. Honey, Mr. Henry wants me to comment.
Could you talk to the audience and not your wife?
This is my wife, Mr. Henry. You don't tell me I don't talk to my wife. I'm making sure that she's not drooling the cake down the front of her new pantsuit. Do you mind? A woman that I love.
General Shaw, this is Mar... If she is not capable of feeding herself, shouldn't you have a nurse there?
No, she is capable of feeding herself. But occasionally, some of the cake comes out of her mouth and goes down her chin and her front. The spittle... never mind. You people will never understand.
Of course I understand. Margaret's asking a question. Is there someone there feeding her?
She feeds herself, thank you very much. Let me have a napkin. Look at this. Now she's spit up. And I believe it's because she's been bothered by these kids. I told you to get these brats out of here. I'm trying right now. All right.
Brat, that's a very good term. Are you a grandfather?
Yes, I am a grandfather. That's why I call them brats. I love my grandchildren, but they can, when they, and you know these children, Phil, they stick their tongue out and they go, nah, I don't know what these things are that they do. And I hate them when they do that.
All right, we've gotten off the subject far enough. Tell me what you think about what I just said in terms of the technology, in terms of glitches. You've worked with weapon systems. You've worked with new weapon systems. And you know that things can go wrong.
I know that there is a testing phase for all weapon systems, Phil. There's no question about it. But what you don't know and what you don't seem to want to deal with is the fact that when you have a testing phase, you're not in a war, you're not in a battle situation.
That's really true, General. Good point.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Bud.
Yeah, a minute ago, Bud was saying...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You were saying you thought General Shaw had that mental thing.
What did he say?
I did not.
He thought you had advanced syphilis.
You've got a fight coming. It's coming today.
Well,
I mean that. You got a fight coming. It's coming today. Boy, I hope I'm going to send you to hell on a shutter.
That's the second day in a row someone is quoting Tombstone.
I'm not quoting Tombstone. Tombstone quoted me. Now, I'll say it again, Phil. You don't take a system, a new system, a new technology, and if I have a weapon system, the last thing I'm going to do is say, oh, goody, look at the new gun. Let's go into a war and test it. Of course not. You're going to wind up getting yourself killed, and you're going to wind up scrubbing an entire operation and probably getting a lot of people killed. No, sir. You test it beforehand. But I don't think Obama did that. You can see, with 20 million people...
All right, now, wait a minute. Hold on for just a second here. How do you test a system when you know there's going to be millions and millions of... How do you adequately test a system when you don't have millions and millions of people to use to test it?
Say that again, because I think you're going to be surprised at just how inaccurate your question is. Go ahead.
You know, General Shaw, hold on, Phil. There used to be a saying, there are no stupid questions, only stupid answers, or no... The only stupid question is the one you don't ask.
What?
I said, there used to be a saying that the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And you're belittling Phil for asking a question.
Because it's a stupid question.
All right, never mind. So, what about that? What about the fact that there aren't 20 million or 30 million or 40 million people to test the system with?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about because you just saw 20 million people go on the system. Well, I realized that there were 20 million people that were trying. But my point is this, all right?
Yeah, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not like you got all caught.
No, I didn't get caught. I've got a wife that is spitting up more of the Pepperidge Farm cake than she's eating. I've got children that are running amok, and I've got a security apparatus here at the Sleepy Echo, what is the name of this mall, Brad? Sleepy Hollow Mall, that is obviously not... you know what, Phil, I'm going to have to get back to you because I am...
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. General Galen Shaw on the line as he talks with us here about health care. And I think I've got him over a barrel, if you'll pardon the expression, because I said, well, how do you test a system like that? You know?
Well, maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't work. Oh, I see. So we live in a culture where the internet is the latest and greatest, and people live on the internet and sing its praises. Now all of a sudden it doesn't work. I got it. Phil Henry Show. Sorry. Welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On the line, General Galen Shaw, as we continue this discussion of the health care. I don't think there's much of a discussion left to do here, General. You know, you're going to have your opinion. I'm going to have mine. Let's get just one more segment in on President Obama's comments today, saying that, you know, he wants to fix this thing.
Well, look, Phil, I think the president... is, would you shut them up? If you don't shut them up, I'll go over and shut them up. You know?
That's not necessary.
General Shaw, that was wrong.
I'm very irritated with this conversation because you seem to think that, you won't listen to me when I tell you this is going to go through the floor and it'll be a disaster.
Okay, fine. I take your word for it. You think it's going to be a disaster. One thing that is not going to happen, you aren't going to stop it. You're not going to stop it from rolling out. It's going to happen. People like, you know, forgive me, General Shaw, but if you're hoping for the failure of this thing, you're betting against a lot of people that want insurance.
What about the taxpayers that are going to take it right straight? And I told you, and you didn't want to hear about the fact that this was a bill that was shoved down the throat and up. And I said what I said, Margaret, not to be prurient. But I said what I said because I felt that it needed to be said, that it not only was a bill being shoved down the throats of the American people, it was being shoved up the area where you go to the bathroom. And forgive me for being childish.
It is absolutely childish. And you brought up Michelle Bachmann.
I brought up Michelle Bachmann only to say that she was a very courageous congresswoman who, because of where that bill was placed, is walking bow-legged. And you wanted to turn that into a joke.
But it is a joke. It is a joke.
Well, it's not to me.
Well, it's a joke anyway. Michelle Bachmann's walking bow-legged. Let me tell you something. You can believe what you want to believe, but the one thing is not going to happen, as you found out, they're not going to turn this bill back, they're not going to get rid of it, they're not going to delay it for a year, they're not going to this and they're not going to that. It's going to roll out because, look, every step of the way, people have been looking to undermine it. They've been looking to lie about it. They've been looking to lie about the math, which they've been doing nonstop. They've been looking to do everything they can to undermine something that every civilized country in the world has got. And it deserves a shot. It deserves a chance. The country's spending far too much on health care as it is, trillions and trillions of dollars.
Well, that's a nice speech, Mr. Henry, but we'll see, especially whether or not the lady that was on today talking about her health care bill going up 100%. We'll see, Mr. Henry, whether or not that continues or whether that, as you hope, begins to decrease. I would hope that it would decrease as well, but I'm too much a realist. I know the damage this bill will do. And I think...
General Shaw, you've got to slow down.
What are you doing?
There's too many ideas. I've got way too many ideas, and I want to say them. Here's another idea just came. I've got a lot of ideas.
Get slow down. Otherwise, you're going to get general paresis of the insane.
I don't have syphilis, jackass. Boy, well, there's one more thing. I've got to kill. I want to hurt you.
All right, General Shaw, just ease it back, okay? Ease it back.
Okay. But
never mind.
I don't think...
Yeah, it sounds like he's not going to make it back.
make it back? Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it back either. I've got so many ideas, I don't know how to... What are you talking about, bud?
It sounds like you had a general paresis.
You got to have syphilis first.
Well?
Well, you better watch how you say things, man. You don't know whether that man has that, and I know for a fact he doesn't. He's not mental. It sounds to me like he was getting over-agitated. And we thank you very much, General. He's a good man. He's been on twice tonight.
Well, he is an elderly man, and to have him up late...
Oh, give me a break, up late.
Yeah, most of the old people, they don't even sleep, man. My aunt, she hardly ever sleeps. She's awake, and she listens to overnight shows and, that one guy, Steve Weldon, Ian Punnett.
Who?
He's talking about on Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, your aunt listens to Coast, huh?
Yeah, a lot of times she listens to Coast, and everything like that.
Is she? So your aunt, we're talking about Mavis, right?
Yeah.
And she is awake all night.
Yeah, a lot of times. Well, not all night. Yeah, a lot of old people, they don't need to have that much sleep.
Well, I know the elderly only sleep for a few hours a night. It just is something that happens to you as you get older. Like, how many hours do you sleep, Phil?
That's very funny.
I'm only kidding.
I sleep like a rock. These days, I'm sleeping really good, man. I don't know what I don't know what it is, but I'm sleeping better. I think I know what it is. The new hours. The new hours that we have. We're off the air earlier every night. We used to be on from 10 to 1 on the West Coast, and now we're off the air at 10. And these hours, they're fantastic because we have a little bit of work that we have to do after the show. I get it done, and I'm rock and roll. I'm feeling good, you know. Okay, so thank you very much, General Shaw, and I hope you get whatever's, you know, wrong with you.
That's not fair to say some of you is wrong with him.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, I do hope that all works out for you there, General Shaw. Well, he's talking about his wife sitting there drooling her Pepperidge Farm down the front of her. I don't know what she's talking about. All right, meanwhile, Chris Christie, who is this governor of New Jersey, this guy ain't exactly the most popular. He's not the most popular.
Not the most popular bulb on the tree.
Yeah.
The most popular bulb on the tree?
You don't say popular bulb on the tree, you gloid.
Would you not call him that?
You say he's not the most... He's not the most...
Not the most popular blade in the drawer.
Not the most popular blade. Not the brightest bulb on the tree.
That's it. He's not the most... He's not the brightest bulb on the tree.
What about the most popular one?
There ain't no popular bulb on the tree, man. You're gonna have to come up with a different... Maybe he's not the most popular girl at the dance. How about that one?
That's a good one.
Well, that's the one we're going to use, okay? He's not the most popular girl at the dance among Republicans because, you know, the guy, he did the most horrific thing that you can possibly do. He shook hands with and actually spent a civil afternoon of discussion with President Obama. Now, if you're a Republican, I guess you're not allowed to do that. I don't know.
Well, that's not, you're not supposed to do that.
Why don't you spit it out, man?
That's what you ought to do.
Guys tell me to do it.
All right, shut up, gentlemen. What do you mean he's not supposed to do that?
You know, if you're a Republican, you can't talk to a Democrat.
Yes, you can. Who says you can't?
You went, yes, you can.
Your voice did crack there, Phil.
Okay, thank you. It's duly noted my voice cracked. Did anybody miss that? Bud, would you demonstrate what I did?
Yeah. Should I?
Go ahead, man.
Mr. Henry, he goes, yes, you can.
Oh, your voice cracked. You didn't do it good.
Here, yes, you can. Is that it?
Yeah, but that was funny, Mr. Henry.
Okay, great. Did we get that out of our system?
Do it again.
You yell, yes, you can.
Okay, are you done? Are you done?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. You can say that a Republican can talk to a Democrat.
That's not what I was talking about.
Yes, it is what you were talking about. You can say that a Republican was talking to a Democrat and talking civilly, and there's nothing wrong with that. And in this country of ours, especially when we're up against really grave challenges, we have opposite parties communicating all the time. Do you know who was sent to England as an emissary in World War II? In World War II, right after President Roosevelt was elected to his third term, in 1940-41, do you know who he sent to England as an emissary to ensure, and to usher, I should say, the British, that America would be supporting them with Lend-Lease, that America would provide what they needed in their solitary fight against the Germans. Do you know who he sent?
Well, no, I guess, was it a Republican?
It was the Republican candidate that he defeated in the election, Wendell Willkie. Wendell Willkie came out in support of America's effort in World War II just about before any Republican did. And he had been the president, he had been the opponent of President Roosevelt's 1940 election. But when he took a look at what was going on in the world, and I'm not saying that Roosevelt convinced him, I think anybody with a brain in their head could take a look at what was happening in the world and what may very well draw us in. And Willkie was 100% in favor of it. Roosevelt sent Wendell Willkie as his emissary. Now, that was a time when Americans stood together, shoulder to shoulder, and they went ahead and they did what they had to do. They didn't question everything like a bunch of spoiled, rotten kids. They didn't say, well, you know, I don't think I have the time for that because I want to do this and that and something else. You know.
You talk about American talk like that?
Yeah, I think figuratively that's how we talk. You know, I was saying before the show, we got a story here. What happened? A man slugged a woman. A New York Jet fan clocked some female New England Patriot fan at the game yesterday, the Jets-Patriots game. And all you got to do is go on Facebook to see really how adults communicate in this world of ours. And if children did what their adults really do, what their parents really do, if children mimicked the real behavior of adults in this world, children would steal, they'd lie, they'd sexually harass, they'd be racist. I'm telling you right now.
That is a very cruel indictment.
I'm telling you right now, I see it all the time. So don't tell me it's a cruel indictment. I see how adults behave. I see how adults behave online. I see how adults behave on these social media sites. Adults. Like grown adults with kids, with jobs. They're racist, they're sexist, they're ignorant as hell, they're insulting as hell. And why? Because they have this veneer of anonymity. And I heard a psychologist say, and let's take a break.
You know, I'm talking about psychology, man. You don't not qualified, though.
Hey, easy, okay, Robert?
You don't know if he's qualified or not. I'm just saying.
Easy, okay? Dr. Laura wasn't a psychologist. She had a show that went on for years talking psychology.
Ooh, you're going to get in trouble.
With who? Who am I going to get in trouble with?
You don't work with them no more.
No more.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't have to, you know, mind my P's and Q's. Thank you very much for anyone, Margaret. So let that be a lesson to you. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's about the best purchase you'll make for any online entertainment site. Other than porn. I got to give it to porn. They got it all over us. But as far as radio sites go, as far as audio comedy sites go, ours is the best. Absolutely the best there is. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Great to have you with us. Welcome aboard Columbia, South Carolina. And more to come, and to all of our listeners, to all of our advertisers, to all of our radio stations, to all of the courageous broadcasters that continue to carry an entertainment product that is also a talk show, which is like some kind of mental disease in the minds of some people. We thank you very, very much.
Yeah, you make fun of it, though.
Yeah, don't worry about it, okay, bud?
Well, I think a lot of people don't like the fact that you have lampooned the talk radio format viciously and violently, and I think a lot of practitioners of talk radio feel violated. Now, I'm not going to bring up, Phil,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm not going to bring up the shop-worn and tarnished example of physical violation, jail sex, which you rely on a lot, and which...
Okay, I'm sorry, but...
Well, you say, okay, I'm sorry. But I will say, as long as you're bringing up...
Yeah, you're talking about being, you know, followed in the shower and stuff like that.
Yes, if you're talking about getting fondled in the shower, a lot of people that practice talk radio feel that that's what you're doing to the format. The format and those that practice talk radio are new fish in a holding area, and you're a big, greasy, white... Well, you go ahead and laugh.
What are you laughing at, man?
Why wouldn't I laugh at that?
A lot of people feel that if you use the example all the way through and don't laugh, talk radio and those that practice it are a young, fresh, pink-faced, blonde boy on the yard, and you're a big, greasy, ugly, fat, bull queer...
Bull queer.
You're getting in trouble for saying that.
No, because that's what they're called.
All right, let's just watch it, all right? So I'm some big guy that's going to jail rape, so... Boy, I'll tell you, you guys...
No. I listen to what people say. You're very disrespectful, Phil.
Well, you know what, Margaret? No, I'm not disrespectful. No, I am not. I was just at the Talker Seminar. I had a great time. I talked to my colleagues. Everybody's on the same page with me, man. They get it. Out of bounds...
Okay. Thank you very much, Your Honor. Thank you for hearing me out.
I'm sorry. I gotta move along. Do you mind?
I had some important things to say.
I gotta move along. Do you mind?
Whatever.
Why don't you have another white owl?
Don't tell me what to smoke. I'll have a Dutch Masters.
You know, those cigars that you're smoking are stinking this joint out, man. I don't know how else to say it.
Oh, they stink in the joint out. I happen to like them.
White owl? Out of bounds, New York Jets fans couldn't stay classy following the team's shocking 30-27 overtime victory over bitter division rival New England Patriots yesterday. In a post-game hysteria at New Jersey's MetLife Stadium, one green jersey-clad Jets fan is captured on viral video punching a New England fan. Not news, you say? Well, this happens all the time among the Jets gang goon fans, you say? Well, it turns out the Patriot fan getting unceremoniously punched in the face was a woman. Yes, they've taken the mantle of football fans behaving badly to a new low in New York. Even the see-it-all New York Daily News was outraged, calling out what it called a cowardly Jets fan who took the term smash-mouth football too literally. See for yourself, I'm sure it's all over, and I should have had it up here and ready to rock and roll on Phil TV and HD, but we didn't get it ready. But there is, for all to see, I'm sure, on YouTube or elsewhere, this New York Jet fan punching out this female fan.
This is what you're calling... So this is what you're talking about when you say the outrageous behavior of adults.
Yes. This is exactly what I'm talking about. We have slobs. We have a new level of slob. Now, I'm not one to say this is anything new. What I am more prone to say is that we're now just seeing it. It's always been there. But we never heard about it because we don't have the rapid-fire, instantaneous communication that we have today. Not only do we have just the usual channels for news, but everybody is a news conveyor. Everyone is a platform for news. Anybody with a camera, anybody with a text. You can see something happen and have it up on the worldwide net within seconds, and people will see with their own eyes what it is you're talking about. So... with all of that instantaneous communication, of course we're getting over saturated with this stuff, and it's tiring our brains, and we just want to shut it all out, and we want to say that it's not real. But I will tell you this, as I mentioned before, we went into the news break or into the commercial break. There's a psychologist that I heard, and I think this bears analyzing. He said that we all have personas. Anonymity does not bring out the real person. Anonymity creates a new persona. In other words, I'm Phil on the radio. I'm Phil one way to my friends. I'm Phil... Will you take it easy, bud? Let me explain it.
No, man, don't start going... You gotta explain it. What do you mean you're Phil? I know you're Phil.
Are you trying to be funny again?
Bud, you're not funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. Forget it.
Yeah, that's good. Cry, that's good for you.
Not crying.
Great. So I have, and we all have our personas. You're a person at work. You're not the same person with your wife as you are at work, although maybe you are, I don't know. You're not the same person with your kids as you are with your wife. You're not the same person with your friends as you are with your kids. You're not the same person with different situations. We have a different kind of face that we put on. This is very normal. This is these are called personas, and they've been known in the world of psychology for decades. Well, add a new one now. It's called the online anonymity persona that we have. A lot of people will say, well, the true person comes out. Well, no, the true person doesn't necessarily come out. A version of that person is coming out. It's oftentimes crude, violent, racist, sexist. But not everybody is a racist, sexist, violent person online just because they're anonymous. People want to be anonymous for a lot of different reasons, and they show a different kind of person to the online community. But when you are seeing these personas, okay, you are seeing folks just that, a persona and not the real person. It's an anonymity persona. How about that?
Well, it sounds pretty far out to me. I'd have to look into it.
Well, it ain't that far out, okay? All right, we're out of here. See you tomorrow night at 7 Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. Great to be back on the radio tonight in just a few minutes. Night of the Living Dead. You got to refresh your browser, baby, to see it on Phil TV.
Better get Phil TV to see Night of the Dead.
Was it Night of the Living Dead?
Night of the Living Dead, yeah.
And don't forget to get health insurance.
Yeah, if you're watching Night of the Living Dead, that should remind you to get health insurance.
If you get zombied up.